Yes, it is. Okay, today it's the 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentum troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory for far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Very nice. Have you ever noticed that some people, it just seems like they can't win no matter what? It's like one lady I heard, and this is a true story. In 1957, Richie Ashburn, the center fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, swung and hit a foul ball and hit a spectator named Alice Roth in the head. Now that hurts. But as she was being taken away on a stretcher, Ashburn slammed another foul ball and hit her in the head again. Poor Alice. I guess it just wasn't her day. And I've had days like that, and I'm sure each and every one of you have also. Reverend Alan Carr tells about an advertisement that once appeared in a newspaper in New York City. The ad was sponsored by the Hayden Planetarium. It was an invitation for anyone who would like to make the first journey to another planet to submit an application. But within just a matter of days, 18,000 people submitted their applications. These applications were given to a panel of psychologists who, upon receiving them, concluded that the vast majority who had applied wanted to start a new life on a new planet because they were so discouraged by life on this planet. I wonder if anyone here today can relate to that. Are you so discouraged by life itself that you would like to go somewhere, even another planet, and make a new start? St. Paul had many problems as anyone, and more than most people, and he never had the comforts of a family life. He spent years traveling under the most primitive conditions. He was persecuted, shipwrecked, beaten, thrown in prison, and most likely martyred for his faith. He made enormous sacrifices for the cause of Christ. Yet he was continually criticized by people both within the church and outside of the church. And yet, Paul never seemed to get discouraged. He was like one guy named Larry Olson. He cites in his book, Outdoor Survival Skills. According to Olson, this guy had been out of food and water for days. His lips were parched and bleeding. His tongue was swollen out in the desert. His legs were bruised. His feet were raw. Some of his bones were almost peeking out through his skin as he dragged himself through that hot desert. He was scraped by the rocks. The blowing sand had scoured his back and his arms. Insects had just literally chewed him up, and cactus needles when he was trying to get some were pricking him. His skin was blistered, of course, by the sun. And as he crawled over a little rise and he finally got to that top, he propped himself up on one elbow. He looked across the burning wasteland and said, you know, another few days like this, and I just might get discouraged. I think St. Paul could relate to that. Yet he never gave up, never felt sorry for himself. He had enormous faith in Christ. Listen again as he writes in today's lesson from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What a magnificent statement of faith. 2 Corinthians is an intensely personal letter written by Paul in response to reports he had received from Titus about the Corinthians' response to the first letter that he had written to them. Though many in Corinth had repented of some of the behavior, Paul was still concerned. There were some false teachers who tried to undermine Paul's efforts and sought to discredit his ministry. Paul shared his heartfelt love for the church and some of the trials and suffering he had endured for the sake of Christ. The passage we're looking at today gives us some insight into Paul's ability to handle the setbacks that were a major part of his life. And what empowered Paul to endure in the face of his suffering was his immovable faith in God. Paul was an amazing man. Most of us, if we experienced the kind of setbacks that Paul experienced, would be whining, complaining, and we would just give up. It would just be too much to handle. We'd be like, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but Tevye in the Broadway musical Fiddler on the Roof. He kept a running dialogue with God, giving credit for the good things that had happened to him, and also lamenting everything that went wrong in his life. In one scene, his horse goes lame. There he sits dejected by the side of the road with his lame horse. And he's talking to God, and he says, "No, God, I can understand it when you punish me when I'm bad, or when my wife talks too much, or my daughter when she wants to go off and marry a Gentile. But, Lord, what have you got against my horse?" Some of us can identify with him. Paul wasn't like that. No matter what happened, Paul seemed to always be able to roll with the punches. He was able to go with the flow because Paul had an amazing faith in God. I think it's the kind of faith that you and I need. People who have faith when battling against overwhelming odds inspire the rest of us. I think sports fans will remember Jim Valvano. He was the head of the coach of the NC State basketball team, and they won a national championship against the Houston team. He was diagnosed, though, with terminal cancer in June 1992. And just 8 weeks before he died, he gave a speech for the ESPY Awards that are presented by ESPN. And you can find that speech on YouTube. It's an amazing speech to listen to. While accepting the inaugural Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award, Valvano announced the creation of the V Foundation for Cancer Research, an organization dedicated to finding a cure for cancer. He announced that the foundation motto would be, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." That was certainly true of his coaching legend. During his speech, the teleprompter stated that he had 30 seconds left. Valvano looked at the teleprompter and then said to the crowd, "They just put up on the screen that I have, and it's flashing, that I have 30 seconds left to speak. Like I care about that screen. I got tumors all over my body, and I'm worried about some guy in the back going, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, wrap it up." His speech included this statement: "To me, there are three things we should all do every day. We should do this every day of our lives. Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And then number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special." Valvano's acceptance speech became legendary. And he closed by saying, "Cancer can take away all of my physical abilities. It can touch, but it cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And these three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, God, and God bless you all." He could have been rephrasing St. Paul's words. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For we know that if this earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Paul's confidence was founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he knew Christ is alive, he knew life conquers death. Hope conquers despair, and love conquers hate. This is an attitude that we all attempted to give up on life. It is a sure hope that because Christ lives, tomorrow will be better than today. Well-known Bible student and preacher Vance Harden once noted that the Christian experience has three levels. First, there are mountaintop days. These are days when everything is going well and the world looks just bright and rosy. We're grateful for these mountaintop experiences, but they do not do much for us or those around us spiritually. If we have lived charmed lives, we're continually boasting about how God is so good to us. We only hurt those around us who are going through pain. And such good fortune will probably leave us with a shallow faith that has never been tested. A charmed life will ultimately be out to our detriment, but sometimes life is like that, mountaintop to mountaintop. The second part of life consists of ordinary days, when we work at our humdrum, everyday tasks. On these days, we're neither elated nor depressed. This, of course, is where we spend most of our time. When we're young, such days are very boring. As we grow older, such days are reassuring. How many of you have gotten to the point where you think boring is good? No news is good news. Finally, there are the dark days, when we trudge heavily through confusion, through doubt, despair, and discouragement. Sometimes these days string out into months, even years, before we get any relief or sense any victory. Eventually, all of us will experience dark days. These are the days that test our faith. Nevertheless, these days offer us valuable benefits. They offer us the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. When we have been through a time of testing, it gives us confidence that we can handle the next test or whatever comes in life. Some of you have been through very, very difficult times, more difficult than some of us know about or would even realize. Rather than making you bitter, hopefully by God's grace, it has made you better. But there is a second benefit. Dark days offer us the opportunity to witness our faith. Many years ago, an architect planned the walls of the Royal Palace in Tehran. It was going to be covered with beautiful mirrors that had been ordered from Paris. But when the shipment of mirrors arrived from Paris, every mirror had been smashed. Every single mirror was broken. The entire shipment was destroyed, so the grand entrance could not be completed. And just as the workmen started gathering the broken pieces to discard them, the architect said, "Wait a minute, I've got an idea." He took down a hammer and broke some of the larger pieces into tiny pieces. He gathered them up in his hands and walked over to the entry. He put some glue on the wall and arranged the tiny pieces of glass on the wall. He did this until he had an enormous montage of broken pieces of glass, and at no point were the mirrors broken alike, and at no point were the angles exactly alike. Today, the Royal Palace in Tehran is a dazzling, brilliant display of prisms reflecting light. And one visitor stood in awe and described the results like this: broken to be more beautiful. At some point in our lives, we might give that same testimony. I've been broken, and now I feel more beautiful. Anybody can handle the mountaintop experiences. That's no problem. It is when we can handle the dark days that our lives become a living testimony to our faith in God. As we sometimes say, God will use our mess as a message and our tests as a testimony. And finally, when we go through life's dark days, you're better able to have empathy for others who have gone through something similar. Your experiences bond you together. In such a setting, you're better able to share the love of Jesus Christ. Paul knew these dark days. He writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." This is the believer's hope. It is the hope that caused Stephen, the first martyr in the church, to look up and look up into the heavens, into the face of those also who were rejecting him, who were stoning him to death, and to be able to rejoice. It is that hope that has caused believers in the early church to willingly allow themselves to be hauled in the Colosseums and mauled and killed by lions, to be taken to the city, hung on posts, and lit on fire to be street lamps, all because they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Hope says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Hope says, "I will not give up or despair, for all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." This is our witness to an unbelieving world. It is a life full of the love of Jesus Christ, whether life has us on the mountaintop, on the plain, or even down in the valley. Wherever we are, remember, God is with you. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. God is not going to give up on you. He's given you the promise of eternal salvation. Never walk away from God. Never walk away from the church. May God bless you. Amen.